Welcome or welcome back to the Joy Loving Home podcast. I'm so glad you're here. This is episode 198. And today I want to talk about how we can overcome an organizing, decluttering, stumbling block that I think really could lead to some powerful results if you can get yourself over the stumbling block. So we're going to dig into that right after this. A wise person once said, "Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid." Well, fish, quit trying to climb trees while getting advice from well-intentioned monkeys. It's time to jump in the water and learn how to swim with the current of your life. I'm Joy, a professional organizer, mom of four, and fellow fish brain. If you're looking for a place to get understanding, encouragement, and ideas for your home that actually fit how your brain thinks, then I'm glad you're here. Let's ditch the type A advice and embrace what makes our brains and our homes unique. Together, we can have a joy-loving home. So I'm going to literally jump right in. What is this stumbling block? At first, it's going to seem sort of, I don't know, you've heard it before or ambiguous, but I'm going to make it practical. So stick with me. The stumbling block is perfection. This effort to have to feel like you have to get it right. If you're doing this work, you want to make sure you get it right. There has to be a solution for any of your clutter, and you have to find it. You might go, my house is a wreck. That perfectionists don't live like this. And it's funny because it came up in our membership group. We do a lot of what I call Work With Me Wednesdays, where anybody who wants to jump on can Zoom and we talk about what it is we're going to tackle. And then we do collective work time where I'm available if you have questions in the midst of working, but we're all just sort of using each other as body doubles to get stuff done. And it's probably the biggest value in joining the membership, because I have listened to a lot of ADHD coaches and podcasts and things where they offer this sort of body doubling service, and it can be as cheap as $10 a session, which is well worth the $10, believe me. My membership group is $10 a month, and we do this four times a month, and we do it four times a day on Wednesdays. So you could literally have 16 body doubling sessions if you were available for all of them. We have people in the group from all across the US, so four different time zones, plus Australia, which is like, they're always the next day when they're working with me. I'm always like, how is your Thursday going while we're doing a Work With Me Wednesday? But where I'm getting with this is, one of the ladies in the group was asking the question of, I have really organized, she calls them cupboards, it's lovely, which she means, you know, the hidden spaces, the cabinets and the closets and things that are typically sort of crammed full in a mess. And then there's also clutter all over, and you're like, decluttering is clearly the issue here. But she's like, my cupboards are all organized, but I have things that are out all over the place because I'm trying to figure out the right way or exactly what to do with them. And it's very much a sort of a perfectionist holding off. She would happily get them where they go, but she's trying to find the perfect way to do it. And that sort of stumbling block of perfectionism is holding her back. It's holding you back. And I see it a lot in decluttering, and I'm going to address that in just a second. But let's jump right into the answer. How do we overcome this type of, if that's really what's holding me back, that I can't take action on something, could it possibly really be this sort of perfectionistic, getting it right, not wanting to mess this up because I want to buy the products and I want to organize the thing just so? How do we overcome this type of perfectionism? The answer is we allow for evolution. And I know that also seems ambiguous and sort of, oh, whatever. but stick with me, because I'm going to give some actual practical examples of what allowing for evolution means. What that means is you are allowing the opportunity for change to exist in anything you set up. Because let's think about it. Even if you paid for an entire team to come into a brand new house where you were going to get everything right from the beginning and you wouldn't have any bad habits, and you step in and everything's orderly, it's kind of like going to stay at a VRBO or something where everything is exactly what's needed for someone to exist in this space, and you waltz in and you use it the way it's set up and you put it back the way it was set up. And you're like, that would be, oh, which is fine while you're on vacation. But because life is messy, think about how often your life has changed. We all go through these different eras in our life in which we have littles. And of course, there's going to be baby stuff strewn all over the house. And then there's toddler stuff strewn all over the house. And then there's, what if I have more kids, but I got to pack away the baby stuff, but I'm not quite ready to get rid of it. And I don't know when I'm done having kids. And then there's the, we're always on the run out somewhere because the kids are at school, but then they're at practice, but then they're at games, but then they're at, we're on the run phase of life, and life has to be in this constant flux. And then all of a sudden they start becoming more independent, and they're driving, and they're, you're at home more, but they're not. And you're still running to their activities. And then they start leaving the nest, but they come home, and you've got the, while they're during the school year selves. And then we've got the, while everybody's around. And then we've got the, oh, they had a long weekend, but I didn't. There are so many evolutions to your life that you have to allow for change. There's no way you can set your life up to work once and then think it's going to stick forever. Even just your interests change. And this is where this comes into decluttering. I'll sit with a person in a decluttering session and they'll pick something up and they'll like, oh, I don't know. I was like really into knitting at one point. I spent all this money. Like I had to get all the needle sizes and I had to get all the yarn and then I had to get the stuff for this one project. But then that project became frustrating. And then, but now I've spent all this stuff. And like, what if I get organized and that spark at knitting comes back? I don't want to waste all this money I spent. Allowing yourself to evolve as a human and your interests. It's okay to have interests that come and go. It doesn't stop just because you were like in middle school and you tried an instrument once and then realized you weren't musical. And then you moved on to a sport and you realized it didn't suit you. And then you dabbled in art and then that didn't. Your evolution doesn't change because you hit adulthood, and adulthood is one phase, and it never, your hobbies are, you have to allow for yourself to evolve. And so the question I always ask if you hit this stumbling block is, well, what if that had been an event? What if that had been an experience? People who go to like concerts or plays kind of get this because they may have spent a lot of money for that experience and they may have a souvenir, but they're not necessarily going to save every piece and part of that. Did that mean their money was wasted? Like, what if you went to a concert event? And current existence right now would be like the phenomenon of the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. My daughter and I got to go to that. We dressed the part. We did our era. We, you know, had the fun in the moment. We bought some merch. Tickets or stubs are not a thing so much anymore because it's all digital. But what did we want to save from that experience? We have photos. And I even turned our favorite photo as a Christmas ornament. There's one where it's got literally the Eras sort of tour poster design on one side of the ornament. And on the back side, it has a photo of just her from that night. I gifted that to her to take with her as she grows for her tree to always sort of remember that moment. And it has the date we went and where we went and all of that. And then I have one that has the two of us together because to me it was cool because it was like this mother-daughter moment. But we have that one item that I know where it goes. It remembers. It reminds me of that time. And the rest I could let go of. We're not going to keep the clothes forever. We're not going to keep, oh, but I spent money on those clothes. Oh, but in an experience, I don't consider that money to have been wasted because I had that moment with her. It was wonderful. It was powerful. It was great. We were blessed enough to have gotten in the actual ticket sale and didn't have to rebuy and spend tons and tons of money. But even if we had, I'm not going to regret that I experienced it. So when you look at items from a hobby and you're like, but I spent money on it. Did you have the experience with it? Did you enjoy at least learning the skill, even if you choose not to use it again? Did you get a few hours of entertainment from it because you got excitement over buying the stuff and you got excitement over trying to learn the stuff, and you may have even created a product out of what had been once a scrapbooking hobby or a photography hobby or a sewing hobby or a knitting hobby or whatever? You paid for that experience. The experience is over. Getting rid of all of the things that went with that doesn't cheapen that experience. It doesn't take away that you had it. So if you can look at any of these items when you're decluttering and say, the value isn't in the things, the value was in the experience, and that experience has ended, and I'm evolving, and I'm making room for whatever the next great interest will be. If you can take that evolution into a decluttering experience, I'm promising you it will help clarify whether it's worth keeping it, and I hope it allows you to let it go. Another practical experience that I can relate to is I have a dear, dear friend who is an absolute monkey brain. Love her to pieces. We are in opposites attract situation, but we live in separate states, and so she was using me sort of a virtual organizer as she was having her kitchen completely gutted, designed specifically for her. The cabinets were being custom made, and she had the opportunity to have every part and piece created exactly for how she was going to use this kitchen. And she loves to cook, and she has really high quality things that she has purchased for her kitchen over the years. She knows her inventory. Oh my goodness. She is very good about getting rid of what she doesn't use. She knows exactly what she uses and how she uses it. And so she wanted me to help figure out exactly where everything she owned was going to sit in that kitchen, how she used it, why she used it, where she used it, so that she would always know to put it away. And she is one of these people who, where on my podcast, I will tell you, like, don't decant things because the effort, and I tell her decant, decant, decant all day long, because to her, that is her sort of love language in the kitchen, is to have it where it's beautiful and ready to use, and she will take the time to put it away. And she's one of those ones that shops at a farmer's market and then comes back and washes and rinses and chops and places it, and you open her refrigerator drawer and it looks like what, because people like that actually do exist that use their space, but they're rare. This is her love space within her home. And so of course she's going to put the energy into it. Other people, it's a chore. And I would never recommend that you spend tons of money and time on something that to you is a chore. Find where that spot in your home makes you sing, or maybe it's not even your home. So another podcast, and I'm getting distracted, but what I wanted to share is when we were going through this process, she wanted, because she was custom building these, built-in drawers where she knew these utensils would lay exactly right, and these cutting tools would lay exactly right, and these sharp knives would be exactly right, and these cutting boards would be exactly right, and these serving pieces would be exactly right because they were certain shapes and she wanted them to fit. And I applaud the way her brain works. And this was about 2 years ago, and I kept pushing her to leave a drawer or two to evolve as to how she would use it once she was actually in the three-dimensional space. Because it's one thing to see it on paper, and they even can make 3D CAD designs where you're looking at it and sort of seeing it in the 3D version, but that's not the same as standing in the actual space and feeling out how you're actually using it. And I knew she has the evolution of her family life to be happening where they, you know, she has aging parents and she might start making meals more to go to them where they are, or inviting them over more, or her kid's going to leave the nest at some point, and the way she's going to use the space is going to be different. And so I begged her to please allow a space or two to have wiggle room to get some great new piece of equipment that she can't account for right now because she doesn't foresee it, but you can't foresee everything. And she literally texted to me 2 years post using her kitchen and loving her kitchen and discovering once she was in it that there were some things she wishes she had changed or tweaked. And she literally sent me a picture of a drawer that I refused to allow her to have pre-built out. And she goes, I just got this the way I'm using it now for the function that I use it for. And I just wanted to say thank you for pushing me to allow for this evolution. And that was sort of the spark of this podcast, is she, even the monkey brain who was so precise and so perfected and good at her perfection, finally saw the value in allowing herself to evolve. And she is sort of becoming a little more carefree in her ways of realizing it's okay. She thought she had everything in this renovation set perfectly and then started living it and realizing she was craving, she wanted everything neutral so that anything in her future would fit in perfectly. And she's like, I put so much effort into making everything neutral, and now that I'm inside of it, I crave color. And so she's adding these sprinkles in, and she's discovering over time, because we evolve, and that's okay. And it's funny because I tease her all the time that, you know, we watched that Shay McGee show, and she just revealed on YouTube how she just did these major interior, exterior sort of renovations. I say major, she called them tweaks. I think we all don't have the budget to do the tweaks that she did. I know because she's in the industry, she's always going to want to tweak, and it favors her. But it's one of those things where it's like, oh, if we all had the money to be able to pretend we got it right once and then spend all that money again and retweak it to that level again. But I was like, live vicariously through her. Now let's do it on your budget. But it's just, we all evolve. We all change. And if you let go of this perfectionist of it has to be done right once and allow yourself to go, I'm gonna organize this space for how it's working for me right now. I don't have to have it perfect. I can actually organize it with old, you know, apple boxes and shoe boxes, and then decide later if I want to buy the actual organizing pieces that would make it look prettier or be more sturdy. I can try my clothes out in this sort of way that I've seen where I put it in types of clothing and then I put it in rainbow order, and then I can try it where I group outfits together that I wear together all the time because I can't think about how to put an outfit together. So once I find an outfit I like once, I'm going to hang them all on the same hanger and I'm just going to have a series of outfits in my closet. Try things different ways. Allow for evolution. Allow for experimentation. Allow for your home to be one grand laboratory of experiments, which is what I keep trying to push our fish brains towards, is because you're going to lose the novelty in it, you might change the same space 16 different times. It doesn't mean you got it wrong the first time. It just means you got it right until it wasn't anymore. And then you allowed yourself to evolve and use the space a different way the next time. So I hope I mixed enough sort of explanation with practicality in there for you to dig in and go, huh, I'm gonna give that a try. That's actually cool. What if I just set it up and try it and leave it for a while? Because it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's evolving. All right. If you want to join me in the membership group I keep talking about, I am going to open it again soon for the big spring. Ta-da. And to get there, you go to joylovinghome.com/membership. And any other link to get in touch with me will be in the show notes. And continue to choose joy.